Our story isn't an accident. Our forgiveness isn't a fluke. Our redemption didn't happen by chance. We didn't stumble into grace. We weren't rescued by coincidence. No, what God has done in us and through us was done with intention. Long before our story began, before breath filled our lungs, before the void was given life, there was a name. A name that stood before and beyond and within creation. A name that had power over every lie, every deception, every snare the enemy could ever set. That name ruled before all rulers and reigned before all powers, above every one. That name is the Lord, the great I am, the everlasting God, Jesus, the one who was and is to come. That name has been holy since before the beginning, set apart and unmatched. And that name will be holy forever when all sorrow is gone, when our toils are over, when every story finally makes sense. So today, we respond. We lift our eyes. We open our hearts. And with eternity, we proclaim, holy is the Lord, who was and is to come, holy forever.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So we want to make sure that everybody knows God's will and God's way. So stay with him. There's a lot of things going on right now, and we need him. If you look around you, it's like everything is going crazy. Who is on point and what is on point right now? Be careful. Stay with God. Follow him like a jet fighter pilot. Keep your eyes on him and let him guide your path. And I remember that so clearly now as I get in the car, as I do things. Because that's what God wants you to be. Just like a fighter pilot that has his eyes on him every step of the way. He's telling you, don't look to the left and don't look to the right. Keep your eyes on me. Our message is going to reflect that today. So stay focused that God is with you. Got a dynamite message for you all today. Pray that your ears are on, that God is hearing you, that you're blessed every step of the way. Let him rule in your mortal bodies. I want to let all of God's children know today that you are welcome, welcome, welcome in this space that we call worship. Amen. Stay focused. Stay in tune. Now, as we do every week, we open up the floor for people to bring in any kind of report where God has touched your life, where he's blessing the things that you do. He's showing you the way. Amen. Any praise reports this morning? Well, okay, we're going to keep going. We're going to thank God because I know he's blessing your lives. You might not want to bring it forth today, but I know he's touching your life somewhere on some level. Amen. So we're just going to praise him anyway and move forward. Now, if there are no praise reports at this moment, we're going to open the floor up to find out who needs prayer this morning. Well, if you don't, I'm going to give an altar call right now. So everybody, I'm going to pray for you anyway. Every head bowed, and every eye closed. Dear Father, we thank you for these, your people, for they are accepted in the beloved. And Father, we need to pray and thank you for each and every one of them, even those that had a desire in their heart to make it, but did not make it today. We want to say thank you for them and pray for them this morning. And those that did not make it, that are lost and walking around, Father, with all kind of thoughts in their minds and ideas and going down the wrong pathway, we pray for them also this morning, Lord. We pray that your will be done in their lives, that someone that's spirit-fed, that's well-spoken with the word of God, that knows his word, will reach out and touch them and tell them where God can be found in their lives. We thank you and praise you for each and every one of them. We pray for their families, Father, and we pray for their well-being, that health and wealth be with them each and every step of the way. Cover them in the blood of the Lamb and guide their pathway, Father. We thank you for all of those that are sick, shut in, homeless, hungry, elderly, widowed, the little children, Lord. We pray for them this morning, and we thank you through this altar call that their lives be touched with your spirit. These and other blessings we ask in thy son Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Use me for your benefit and for your glory this morning in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, today we've got a dynamite message today. Our reference scripture is found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 11. The title of the lesson today is, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" That's the title of our lesson today. It's found in Genesis chapter 3 and 11. God's question to Adam and Eve, "Who told thee that thou were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Now, I know you all have heard this before, but today, this statement is not just about their physical nakedness, but it's also about the deeper spiritual truth that they had lost their innocence through disobedience. Now, Adam and Eve lived in harmony with God and with each other, with no shame, no guilt, and no fear. They were always naked, but felt no shame because their relationship with God was pure. Because before God, we are always naked, whether we are in the truth or whether we are not. And what I mean by naked, I'm not talking about physically naked. I'm talking about God can see you in everything you do and in every stage of your life. To him, you are naked because you cannot hide from him. Now, Genesis 3:11, God asked Adam a profound question. "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" Amen? That's what he asked him. But the question marks a pivotal moment in humanity's history, the moment when sin entered the earth and fundamentally altered the relationship between man and God. Now, today we will reflect on this question and explore a deeper implication of sin, of shame, and the shift in humanity's double awareness. And when I say double awareness, that means we are aware of God and we are aware when we sin. Now, today we will reflect on this question and explore all of this, okay? So that we make sure that we are aware of his commandments, And that we also acknowledge on the inside when we have sinned. As we examine this verse, we will see that Satan's introduction of sin brought about a knowledge that led Adam and Eve to also turn away from God. What else happened? They saw themselves for the first time through a different set of eyes, and to judge themselves through a false sense of accountability, causing them to experience guilt and shame for the first time. Amen. Stay with me. Now, the fig leaves, they were used or their attempt to conceal their guilt and shame that they felt after sin entered into the world. And they know that they were the reason why. Now, the act of covering up reveals the instinct to hide or to mask what we consider as flaws and wrongs inside of us, especially when we are confronted with guilt and shame, or our shame. Sometimes you get one of them, sometimes you get both of them. We're talking about guilt and shame. Now, in life, we often try to cover our nakedness, our weaknesses, our mistakes, our insecurities in different varying ways. These coverings may not always be physical either, but some of them are emotional, psychological, or even spiritual attempts to avoid facing our what? Vulnerabilities. Amen. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Now, here are some common ways people cover up their nakedness. Number one, self-deception. We sometimes convince ourselves that everything is fine, even when it's not. In the back of our minds, we already know the truth because we have been told by someone else, or that small voice on the inside of us called the Holy Spirit of promise already told you. Much like Adam and Eve tried to hide behind the fig leaves, people often mask their true feelings, true failures, and struggles by pretending they are not there. Now, if this is speaking to you, don't say a word. Keep it to yourself. But you know that means change is coming, and you are going to be the one to implement it. This can include lying to ourselves and others about the impact that sin has in our lives. Amen. Rationalizing away unhealthy behaviors. We call that faking and shaking. That's what we call it in today's time. Now, example, every person may convince themselves that they don't need help, even though they are struggling with addiction or depression. Now, let me make this clear today to all of you. These are just examples that we will be giving, and that we are not pointing out anybody in particular or specific, because you are the beloved of God. So I want you all to understand that, in case, you know, something I say really hits you, or you may have talked to someone about it, or you may have even talked to me in a counseling session. We're not talking about you. Amen. Now, our reference scripture on this particular issue is found in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. Come on, meet me at Jeremiah 17 and 9. This is what it reads. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? 1 John 1 and 8 also says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Amen. Now, our number two ways that, you know, things that come to us or where we try to hide our nakedness. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Pride and defensiveness. Pride can be a form of covering up one's true vulnerabilities or mistakes. When we fail or make mistakes, instead of admitting our mistakes, we may become defensive, sometimes downright prideful, thinking we can hide behind our past achievements or our social status, because I'm all of that and a bag of chips. Now, we may project an image of perfection to avoid the feelings of inadequacy or our shame. So some of you that are walking around with your head in the air, knowing you made a mistake on the inside, but trying to cover it up with that prideful look and holding your nose up high in the air. But this is an example for you. Someone may refuse to apologize or admit wrongdoings. Instead, they try to justify their action to others to protect their reputation. And reputation doesn't have anything to do with it. That's an earthly thing. Now, our scripture reference is in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. And it reads, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble, it's wisdom. James, let's go there. Chapter 4 and verse 6. And I know I'm moving pretty rapidly, but I got a lot I want to unpack to you today. But he gives us more grace. We're talking about James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Busyness and overworking. Now, staying busy or overworking can be a way of covering up deeper issues like emotional pain, emotional guilt, and lack of purpose in our lives. Now, by focusing on our energy and putting it on our work, our activities, and general business, you know, we point in those directions with our lives to avoid facing the emptiness and unresolved issues in our lives. We work, work, work. But this can be a way to distract ourselves from confronting the uncomfortable feelings or confronting our own God issues. And yes, we do have God issues because God made us and not we ourselves. So God put this in us from the beginning. We all know what God is. We all know when we're sinning. And some of us have gotten to the point where we don't fit it. We just take joy in what we just did. And we keep on doing it because God did not hit you with a lightning bolt, so you didn't get nothing from doing wrong. But be warned up front, it does come back to you. And sometimes at a wrong time and at a very uncomfortable way. Amen. And if you don't want that, take care of your God issues. Get your business straight with God. For he is the creator of all things in heaven and in the earth. Our reference scripture on this is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 6.
And it reads, better a handful with quietness than both hands full. Did you get that? It says better a handful with quietness than both hands full, together with toil and grasping for the wind. Now, Luke chapter 10, verse 40 through 42, it's Martha and Mary. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, we're talking about Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So if you'll notice, she was upset because she had to get busy, but God says she was getting busy also trying to forget all of the things that she had to deal with in life. And it troubled her that Mary wasn't there with her in the midst of all the trouble that was going on in her life. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Materialism and success. Number four, chasing after wealth, success, or material possessions can serve as a way to mask our feelings of inadequacy and unworthiness. Now, we sometimes think that acquiring more physical things or achieving more in life will replace or make us feel whole and secure, hiding their deeper, unmet emotional or spiritual needs. Now, our example today, someone who feels insecure about their identity may constantly seek approval or validation through their outward accomplishments or possessions. So you could have somebody around you that's got more possessions than you have, but he's always asking you, or she's always asking you, what do you think about this? Well, what do you think about this? Well, what do you think about this? So they're always, well, this is what I did. What do you think? Well, I did this. What do you think about that? They're looking for validation. If you're praying to God and hearing from God, then you already have your validation because God is guiding you. Amen. Now, 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10 says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many, many sorrows. Amen. Now, verse 5, or our fifth issue. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Now we're talking about relationships and codependency. Now, this is a big issue right here. And I want you all to really pay attention to this one. Now, in relationships, some people may rely on others to define their own worth or mask their loneliness and lack of fulfillment in life. But being in codependent relationships, they try to find security in others rather than in their relationship with God. And that is a key part, their relationship with God, which we all need. And even in these days and times, we truly need it. Now, this is my example on that issue. A person might constantly seek approval from others or stay in a toxic relationship, one that we all wonder, why is this person still with them? They beating them. They taking all their money. They doing all kinds of things to these people. But because they fear being alone or being unloved, they stay in that and they suffer the consequences. Now, our reference scripture on that is found in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. And this is how it reads. Come on, Bible scholars, pay attention and let's go. Verse 10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Or 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, but we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Amen. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Amen. This is the first and great commandment. And the second commandment is like this. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Who told thee that thou wast naked? The need for redemption and restoring our innocence. Now, the question God asks in Genesis 3 and 11 is a profound one. It reveals both the tragic reality of sin and the hope of redemption. While Adam and Eve experienced guilt and shame for the first time, God's desire has always been to restore humanity to the innocence that was lost in the garden. Now, God's plan for redemption was set in motion immediately after the fall. In Genesis 3 and 15, God promised that the seed of the woman would crush the seed of the serpent's head, foretelling the coming of the Christ, who would defeat sin and restore humanity's relationship with God. Now, our reference scripture to that conclusion is found in Romans 5 and 17. And this is how it reads. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray that you heard the voice of God today. We're out of time for the day. And I every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word, Lord. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Father, you see us all the time in a naked state. You see everything we do. This has nothing to do with having clothes on. This has to do with our lifestyle and God being able to see us in whatever state we're in this life, that we walk in the Spirit of the Lord. We thank thee for Jesus. that he did come to give us restoration, redemption, and bring us back into the garden again to walk and to be with the Father. But it is through him that we have life, and we have it more abundantly. We thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Now, we want to give y'all a minute to think about giving today. That if we give, the word says, it shall be given unto us. And if you trust God and you trust his word, then you know these blessings that you give into the ministry will come back to you. Now, when we leave here, on the screen will be ways that you can give. And if you have the app, there's another way for you to give through your debit card or your credit card. Amen. All you got to do is look at where it says donations at the bottom of the screen on your app, and you can do it there. I thank God for all of you, and I praise him for each and every one of you. And I pray that you walk in his peace. Have a great day. Have a great week. We'll see you at Bible study on Wednesday night. Amen and amen. This joy that I have, give it, the world can't take it away, take it away, take it away. This joy that I have, give it, the world can't take it away, take it away, take it away. This joy that I have, my Father gave it, it's for you and me. You and me share, have, hold, and keep. Tested every day, this will pass. What I have runs way too deep. No, not one can take from me this joy. This joy.